It's clear to everyone by now that we're in the season of Lent, the holy, precious season of Lent. And today's readings remind us that part of Lent is the serious obligation to care for one another, especially those in need. We ponder today the great parable of the Last Judgment, Matthew chapter 25. It's a great parable. It's a great description of what happens at the end, but it's also a very challenging parable, a very almost frightening. And Jesus puts it in such a way so that it shakes us. It takes us by surprise, because even the people in the parable are surprised. When did we ever see you? When did we ever see you and do this or not do this for you? As if we'll all be surprised when we get to judgment day. Both the sheep and the goats will be surprised. We can't be entirely surprised, because now that we've heard this parable, we know that we are obliged to do for our least brother, and that what we do or don't do for him or for her is what we do or don't do for the Lord. So it's quite a profound lesson about what we're doing, not just during Lent, but what we're doing with this life, which leads to this point at the end, the final judgment. The parable clearly dismisses one very popular error of our times, and that is that everybody goes to heaven, that everybody's basically a good person and God wants everyone in heaven, so everybody goes to heaven. That's kind of a default position of many people, that since God is a loving God, he would never condemn anybody. Well, this parable makes it clear that some people, the sheep, are granted entry into eternal life, and some people, the goats, are condemned to eternal punishment. He doesn't say anything about everybody going to heaven. He says there's two categories. Now, we don't know, because this is in the mystery of the next life, we don't know who goes in which direction, but it's certainly clear that there are two options. It's not that everybody goes to heaven, or it's not a guarantee anyway. So that's one error that this parable dismisses. If we take the parable out of context, we might fall into another error, and that is, and this is also a popular one, that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're a good person. That's a very common belief. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're a good person. According to that idea, all the social workers and the healthcare workers and the people who attend to orphanages and anyone who does good things will go to heaven. Because it says here, if you give food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty and you welcome the stranger and the prisoner, then you go to heaven. And if you don't do that, then you don't go to heaven. As if religious doctrines and categories and churches and traditions, they have nothing to do with it. It just has to do with what you do. Well, that's not exactly true. I say that's an exaggerated interpretation of this parable, as if this is the only gospel we ever heard. Jesus himself said that no one can be saved without being born again of water and the Spirit. So he made baptism and faith requirements for entering into heaven. And he says in another place, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother, my sister, my mother. Whoever does the will of my Father is the one who's going to be welcomed into heaven. So the criterion, according to that description, is doing the will of God. The criterion in this parable is taking care of the least ones, or doing good for the least ones. Then we have that always shocking story of the thief who is crucified next to Jesus. As far as we know, he never did any good thing. He didn't take care of the hungry and the thirsty and the stranger. As far as we know, all we know about him is that on at the moment of his death by crucifixion, he turns to Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. So he doesn't say, well, what did you do for my niece brothers? He says, this day you will be with me in paradise. So we have to take these things all into account. The journey of faith is not to be limited to just one thing. It's not just almsgiving, but this is what this today's gospel makes it sound like. All we have to do is almsgiving. And it's not just prayer. And it's not just fasting. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. That's why this season of Lent is so rich for us. Now, to take the challenge of the parable more personally, we have to start asking ourselves, well, am I feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, visiting, caring for the sick and the imprisoned? Am I doing that? And in what ways am I failing to do that? Certainly this is a basis for an examination of conscience, so that we won't be surprised at the end. Now, remember, speaking about surprise, it doesn't happen on Judgment Day that we're taken by surprise or that we don't know why we're either rewarded or condemned. It's not like this is a police state and the power of the government just does things and we don't know why. You know, you hear stories about that all the time. People who are arrested, they don't know what the charge is against them. People who are held, and even though they think they're innocent. It's not like that. And on Judgment Day, it's very clear to us the criteria on which we're judged. And we can't even dispute it. Not only is it clear to us, on the final judgment, it's clear to everybody. Huh? Nothing that's hidden now will not be made known. In the end, it's clear to everybody why everybody is in whatever situation they're in. So we shouldn't take this parable to mean that we're going to be left wondering why we're condemned because they didn't even know what we did. It's not like that. But Jesus puts it this way in order to awaken us, in order to tell us to be alert, to be awakened to the presence of the Lord in the poor. Yes, it's a parable of the last judgment, but it's not for the people who are being judged. It's for us now so that when we get to that point, we'll be ready. So again, examination of conscience. Do I recognize the presence of the Lord in the poor, in the person in need? Now, it doesn't only mean the person who's begging for food, although it does mean him or her. It also means the person who's hungering for acceptance, or hungering for understanding, or hungering just for time, or thirsting for some forgiveness, or thirsting for some kindness. We have lots of hungers and thirsts. There's lots of things that leave us naked and ill and in prison. We can be imprisoned by our own vices, or imprisoned by our own feelings of guilt or shame. And there's lots of things that, if we expand the categories a little bit, there's lots of things that make people least ones. And our eyes are to be opened to their needs. We don't have to be looking around. You don't have to go to Ukraine or Iran or some place where there's people suffering unjustly or refugees from war. We live in a world full of people with suffering, people with needs, if our eyes are open. So the question is, are we willing to serve the Lord in the people who he places before us today? Or are we going to neglect him in the people he places before us today? Very challenging, but a good reminder to us as we're at the very beginning of the season of Lent, we have work to do. This is serious business, this business of following Jesus. It has eternal consequences. So, in fact, the gospel, in a sense, speaks for itself, that what we do now has very grave consequences for what happens after this life. Well, that's maybe enough for us to reflect on. And not with fear that we might not be doing it well enough, or fear that we're not good enough. Of course we don't do it well enough, and of course we're not good enough. The point here is not that we earn our way into heaven. The point is that because God is so merciful to us, he's making known to us his presence so that we can serve him. So it's not with fear that we examine our conscience. It's with confidence in God. Not confidence in our doing a better job of serving the poor. No, that's too self-centered. Our focus is on the Lord. He's yes, the king, he's the judge, he's the shepherd, but he's also present for us in the needy person. He wants us to enter into the kingdom. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He wants to say that to everybody. He doesn't want to exclude anyone. So if we're willing to follow him, to have our conscience awakened, our eyes opened, yes, then we will enter into this reward of eternal life.